All right, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to John, John chapter 5. And my text will be found in verse 24. Text will be found in verse 24, John chapter 5 and verse 24. Entitled this message, Hearing and Believing the Perfect Salvation of Christ. Hearing and Believing the Perfect Salvation of Christ. John chapter 5 and verse 24, our Lord Jesus Christ says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Perfect salvation. Now, this, give you a little preface of this. Our Lord had just healed that man at the pool of Bethesda. That man had laid there at that pool for 38 years. Now, have you had, you and I have problems. You and I have a lot of problems. But how many of us can we say had a problem for 38 years? This man lay impotent for 38 years. Our Lord was younger than 33 years at this time, and he had been there about 4 or 5 years before our Lord Jesus Christ was born. He had laid at this pool, and the Lord comes along on the Sabbath day and heals this man. He heals him, but our Lord in verse 17 declares to these Jews, he healed this man at Bethesda, and these Jews, they become angry at him. Imagine that. He had healed this man, done a great work, a great miracle. And instead of praising God for a great miracle, they being legalists and bound to the law, they, or thought they were, they berated him for it. They said, this man, he healed on the Sabbath day. And our Lord says this in verse 17, but Jesus answered them. Listen to his answer. He said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. What the Lord here by this statement declares is His deity. His deity. They were angry with Him for healing on the Sabbath, and He's saying, look, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. The Father worked on the Sabbath, and I worked on the Sabbath because we are Lord of the Sabbath. He is declaring Himself. These Jews, as well as every person here this evening, Jesus said, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. When He said this, my Father, what was He declaring? He was declaring Himself to be the Son of God. The Son of God. This phrase, my Father, is to say that God was His Father alone. That He and the Father are in union, so as God the Father works, even so does the Son work. Now these Jews, they understood what He said. Many people, they hear that and they don't get riled up. They don't even understand what He's saying. These Jews understood. They understood more than the Arians and the Jehovah's Witness. Jehovah's Witness, they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, don't believe He's divine. But these Jews understood something of what Christ said more than they did. Because in verse 18, look at this. Therefore the Jews sought the more to what? Kill Him. Because He not only had broken the Sabbath, according to them, but said that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. This one who is speaking in our text, therefore, I want to preface this by saying this one talking, this one speaking here in this text in John chapter 5 and verse 24 is none other than the Son of God. The Son of God. Deity is speaking. They wanted to kill Him because He proclaimed Himself equal with God. That's who's speaking. God manifest in the flesh is the one speaking in this text. And He says, as the Father works, so do I work. So as the Father and as the Spirit work, so does the Son work in unity, equal in power, in will, and in purpose. And in verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doth the Son likewise. Now what does this mean? It means that the Son does it mean the Son lacks power? That He can't do anything without the Father? No. The Son has power. The Son does not lack power or will. It's the same as saying God cannot lie. Jesus is saying, look, I can't do anything without the Father. It's the same as saying God cannot lie. He cannot deny Himself. It is something universally true of God. He says, even as the Father works, so do I work, and I can't do anything without the Father. Why? Because they are equal. They are working together in one will and one purpose. They're not contradicting one another. The Father's work is not, Christ is not saying I'm doing the Father's work and because it's against my will or what I want to do. No, they're doing exactly what they both desire to do. It's not contradiction with the Father in any work, will, or deed. They're one, and they're both the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus Christ, He's declaring Himself to be Lord, equal with the Father. So now looking at our text, Jesus, the Son of God, says this. Look very closely. It says these two words. And Jesus says this in a row. You'll see it in verse 24 and 25. He's saying this twice. Verily, verily. And this is not something to take up space or to be wax eloquent. He's just saying, look, truly, truly. Now God's saying this, friends. God's saying truly, truly. He who is God says, stop. Listen to what I'm saying. Behold, what I'm saying is truth. This is the truth of God. A truth that should interest sinners. Listen to what He says is true. He says, I, God, the Son, says this unto you. He that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life. And God said that. And shall not come into condemnation. God said that. But is passed from death to life. God said that. This is the word of God. This word should interest sinners. A true, great portion of Scripture. This is the truth that God has. Everlasting life, no condemnation, and life. Life. The Scripture says this, all flesh is grass. All flesh is grass, and the grass withereth, the flower fadeth. You and I, my friend, tonight are closer to death than we were yesterday. Every one of us. Every one of us closer to death today than we were yesterday. God has set the bounds of our habitation. And it is fast fleeting away. You young people, don't dismiss this. Don't dismiss this because of your youth. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. How many young people have fought themselves to have plenty of time? Plenty of time to consider this. And the very next day they had to meet God. No, friends, don't. We don't know the bounds of our habitation. They're set. This is a very important message. This statement of truth should interest every child of Adam. Why? Because we've all sinned against God. We all by nature have been under the condemnation of God. Jesus says in John 3 and verse 17, God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Why? Because the world was already condemned. The world was already condemned. And what is the proof of the world's condemnation? Men, the light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Those by nature, we love darkness. We love this present world. We love the things of the world. Those things interest us by nature, don't they? I'm preaching a message tonight about what God says, and most people are not interested. Most people are not interested. You turn on the television, and they got a nice story or a nice show, and boy, they're interested. They're interested. They'll spend hours and hours and hours and hours watching that thing and all give all their energy and effort to understand. Yet I got a message from God. And you don't want to hear it. You know why? Because you love darkness rather than light. You love your evil deeds. That's proof that this world is in condemnation, under the condemnation of God. Men love darkness rather than light. This is the evidence that the world is under condemnation. Yet Christ here speaks of no condemnation. Now, shouldn't that interest you? He says, look, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That should interest somebody who is a sinner, who is under condemnation, who feels the justice and wrath of God upon them. This message should interest them. This is the message speaking of no condemnation. That God, it says, there will be some. Isn't that something? There will be some who will not come under the condemnation or judgment of God. Now, does this interest you? Does everlasting life interest you? Is that not something of value? Everlasting, eternal life. That should interest you. Every son of Adam. Freedom from condemnation. What about this being passed from death to life? That should interest you because of this truth. All men by nature are born dead. All men by nature, why do you love this world so much and do despise the word of God? Why? Why? Why would you hate the things of God and love the things of sin? We know this. Sin is painful. Friends, have you not found that out? Sin is painful. It hurts. Every time. It never misses. It feels good for a moment, and then it causes great suffering and pain. And yet we run to sin rather than running to God. It's because we're dead by nature. This is why man should be interested in this text. Jesus said, this is a truth that some will be passed from death to life. You know, that death that we is in us all is called original sin. When our father, the father of this human race, sinned, he died. It's a very serious thing, friends. It was no trivial thing that Adam disobeyed God. In fact, your father and my father is a murderer. He murdered his whole race. Willingly. Willingly murdered his whole race. And we, by nature, inherited that spiritual death. For as by one man, Romans 5:12, for as by one man, sin entered into the world. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now you who are outside of Christ, you are dead. Now listen, you may be religious. A lot of lost people are religious. You may reform your life. I know a lot of people who were drug addicts and alcoholics, and they got clean and they reformed their life. You may do that. You may be immoral and you may pick up morality. You may even make a decision. You may be baptized. You may join a church. You may do a bunch of religious things. But that, my friend, is not being passed from death to life. That is the corpse dressing itself up. That's all it is. But unless you are raised from the dead, you will never come to Christ. You will never believe what Jesus said. You will never have an interest in what Christ said unless you are passed from death to life. You cannot and you will not believe on Christ because you're dead. you have no love for the things of Christ, and you see no need for the things of Christ. Yet, my hope is that God, by grace, that some see their need. I hope tonight that some sinner would see their need. I hope that some would see their dead condition and need of justification, need of forgiveness, need of mercy, need of grace. And some may see that. They may see the frailty of their human nature, their human body. They may see that life is fleeting. They may see their sin and know the judgment of God is sure. They may see the deadness of their soul and need of life. Is this you? The Son of God. The Son of God. Listen, He's speaking to you then. He's speaking to you. If you have any sense of who you really are by nature, Christ here is speaking to you. He's speaking to me. If any man asks, how can these things be mine? How can I not come into condemnation? How can I have everlasting life? How may I be passed from death unto life? How is it that a man can have these things of God upon his soul? This, my friend, is not the work of man. I can't do this for you. And I'm gonna give you a little, I'm going to bust your bubble. You can't do it for yourself. You got children. You want them to understand, have an interest. You got family that you want to know and have an interest. You can't do that for them. Jesus said in John chapter 6, this is the work of God that you believe. You can't make someone have an interest, no matter how much you want to. This is the work of God. If God will have mercy upon a man, this is how He'll do it. Now look at your text. He tells us how these things may be ours. Look at this. In your text, verily, verily, says the Son of God, I say, deity says, two things. He that heareth my word, and number two, he that believeth on him that sent me. Hearing the word of God and believing God. Believing God. First of all, hearing the word of God. This is the gospel. What I'm preaching tonight is the word of God. I have no desire to tell you my opinion of things. I just don't. You don't want to hear them. I don't have time to tell you opinions. I just want to tell you what God says. And Jesus, the God, says, you must hear my word. You must hear the gospel, his word. The salvation of the souls of men is an act of God. That's the gospel. In a nutshell, isn't that the gospel? That salvation is an act of God. It's a work of God upon the souls of men. It's a work of sovereign grace and power. No man by nature seeks after God. But here's the gospel. God had chosen some. God had chosen some of Adam's race for His own glory and then sent His Son to be the Redeemer of those people. He sent His Son to save those that He loved and chose so that the Son, that He should die for their sins upon Calvary's tree, and in time the Holy Spirit will come to them and give them life and faith. He will give them what Jesus promises. What are those things? Eternal life, no condemnation, and being passed from death to life. These are the things God purposed to give His elect. These are the things that Christ purchased when He came into the world, and these are the things that the Holy Spirit gives to His people. What does He give? How does He give it? Through the preaching of the gospel. The declaration of the gospel. God has ordained salvation. And what is the means? Preaching. I'm going to go to a couple of passages. You don't have to turn here, but I'll just flip over for you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said this in verse 17, that Christ sent me not to baptize. Well, that's strange, isn't it? Wasn't baptism good? Isn't it necessary in what Christ said to do? Yes. Is it important? Yes. But I'll tell you something that's vitally important, and it's not baptism. Something vitally important is this. Christ sent me not to baptize, but what? To preach the gospel. Verse 21 of that same chapter, for after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And in Romans chapter 10, Paul makes this very, very plain. He says in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how are you going to call on him that if you hadn't believed him? And how are you going to believe him if you never heard of him? And how are you going to hear him if he didn't send a preacher? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. There's the first act of God, is that you must hear the word. And he does this through preaching the gospel. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not what? The gospel. The gospel of Christ. We preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, of the grace of God towards sinners. It is a message of the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is a message of hope for the hopeless. It's a message of help for the helpless. It's a message of mercy for those who have need of mercy and have no merit. It's a message of life and peace with God, forgiveness and pardon for sin to those who are guilty. That's the gospel message. In Acts chapter 13, verse 38, it said, be it known to you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now then again, do I ask, is there any in need of righteousness? Anyone in need of righteousness? Anyone in need of forgiveness of sins? Not the forgiveness of men, but the forgiveness of God, before God. Are there any in need of mercy? Any who would need to be justified so as not to be condemned under the justice of God's wrath? Anyone? Anyone? Now you might say, well, Pastor, I'm just not that bad. Well, then this is not for you. This gospel is for sinners. It's for those who are actually incapable of saving themselves. You are looking at one incapable of saving himself. This is mine. This gospel's mine. Because I am absolutely, utterly incapable of saving myself. You might say, well, all I need is a pat and a push. I need a guide, somebody just to counsel me. I need Jesus just to guide me through this life. No, I need Jesus to carry me through this life. I need Jesus to save me from my sins. I don't need Him to help me. I need Him to do it for me because I can't do it myself. That's what the gospel is. It is a message of Christ doing something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. It's not Christ doing His part and we doing our part. It's Christ doing the whole thing. That's the message. That's the gospel you must hear. This is His word. First thing, when you hear His word, you have to understand who you are. That's what His word declares. His word makes no uncertain terms about it. Man by nature is absolutely, completely, utterly, and if I could find any more adjectives to fit that, I would. Depraved. Ruined. Dead. Lame. Blind. Halt. Maimed. Whatever you want to use. Incapable of ever coming to God or pleasing God. That's what His word declares. We are completely spiritually discerned. Listen to what Isaiah said. Isaiah chapter 1. Listen, if you're going to hear the good news about the gospel, you've got to first hear this. Otherwise, the good news is not that good. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 5. He said, why should you be stricken anymore? You know, sin is painful. I told you that to begin with. Sin is painful, and yet, what do? We revolt more and more. Why would you be stricken anymore? And yet you revolt more and more. Now, why is that? He says this, the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no wellness, no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have been not closed up or bound or mollified with ointment. In other words, he is saying from head to toe, you are nothing but sin. Sin. Isaiah chapter 64, he reiterates this in another way. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, you are all as a leprous thing, an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, if you don't ever hear that, you've never heard the gospel. If you don't know that about yourself, you've never heard the gospel. One person said, you get it wrong on the fall, you get it wrong on all. There's no way. The fall is the basis, because here we see our need. If you never see your need, you're never going to come to Christ. This is what man sees, should see of themselves when the word is preached. Have you seen this about yourself? That you're sinners from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and there is no sound. Have you heard this? If you have, you've heard His word. You've heard His. But the second thing is just as vitally important, because if you don't hear the second thing, then what good is the first? If you heard who you are and all you do is mope around about it and you don't come to Christ, what good is it? The second thing we hear is this. We've heard of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come in the flesh. He's come in the flesh. That He was sent of the Father. That He came as a man, a servant of God, to obey the law of God as a representative for those who dishonored the law. And He, by His perfect obedience, honored God's law. He did this for them. Did He do this for Himself? Did Christ obey the law of God for Himself? Why? Well, that would be foolish. He doesn't need righteousness. He's righteous in Himself. He didn't come for Himself. He did come for God's elect. He did come for all those that the Father gave Him. And by His death on the cross, He accomplished something. He accomplished the most wonderful thing ever in the history of the world or in eternity. He actually accomplished redemption. He actually made an atonement for the sins of His people. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, it says, the blood of bulls and of goats could never take away sin, but this man hath brought His own blood. With His own blood, He obtained eternal redemption. He obtained eternal redemption. That's that same thing that it says in Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. I believe it is. Let's see. Yeah, verse 24. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. Listen to what He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. See, God set a date. That date was set all the way in eternity. But here, God even sets a time. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. For what? To finish the transgression. To make an end of sins. To make reconciliation for iniquity. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. To seal up the vision and the prophecy. To complete the vision and the prophets, to fulfill them, and to anoint the most holy. That's Christ. That's the one speaking in our text. He came into the world to accomplish redemption. Have you heard how He accomplished this? Let me tell you this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21 says that, for God hath made Him to be sin for us. That's how He did it. He took all of the sins of all of His people and imputed them to His Son, charged them to His Son. The Scripture says that He bore our sin in His own body on the tree. And God poured out all of His wrath and justice against our sins on the Son of God, and He endured it, and He died for our sins on the tree. That's how that we may have no condemnation, because all of the condemnation fell on Him. The justice of God was satisfied. Have you heard that? Have you heard that? And what's the purpose of that? That we might be made the righteousness of God. We who had no righteousness should be made the righteousness of God. He who had no sin was made sin. And we who had no righteousness was made righteous. That's the transaction. Have you heard that God has accepted that offering? How do you know God accepted? How do you know that God accepted His offering? How do you know God's satisfied? God proved it by raising Him from the dead. He raised Christ from the dead because the grave could not hold Him. There was no more sin to hold Him. And so God raised Him from the dead. He ascended to the throne of God. And I declare and preach to you tonight a successful Savior. You know what makes this gospel different than any other gospel that's being preached? We preach a successful Savior. One who actually accomplished redemption. Not made it possible. He actually did it. He finished it. I point you to the Lamb of God. Hear His word. Paul says in Romans 10, he said, have they not all heard? Well, yeah. How many times have you heard this message? There are so many that have heard this message and yet you've not heard Him. You've not heard Him. You've not heard Him speak. You may hear this message for years. You may even know this message by heart. Now, you bear witness. You that have been with me for a long time, is there anything I'm saying tonight that I've not said before? Anything? There's nothing new here. Nothing new. I'm saying the same message again and again. And you've heard it so many times, you could probably come here and say what I'm going to say. You can guess what I'm going to say. Many people have heard this message. They've made a profession. They've been baptized, and yet they've not heard Christ. Hearing Christ is not just being reformed. It's not learning catechisms. It's a spiritual resurrection, friends. Hearing this word is a miracle if you hear it. If you hear it, it's a work of God. It's exactly like Lazarus. Lazarus was in the tomb dead 4 days, but he rose from the dead at the voice of Jesus Christ. He heard the voice of Christ. And with that voice came power, and Lazarus came forth. Even so, you who have heard this message and believe this message, it is the power of God that did that. In verse 25, Jesus states it like this, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that, what? Hear shall live. Hear the voice of the Son of God. Many there are who profess with their lips that they love Christ. But listen, if there is no change, then you have not heard Him. If there is no struggle with sin, if there is no faith and love for Christ, you have not heard Him. Many say they love Christ and still live in their sin, are just as comfortable to swim in the vomit of their sin and then come out Sunday morning and say, well, I love Jesus. I know Him. Oh, friends, you don't. Many come to church on Christmas and Easter, and one preacher said the church is meant to hatch them, match them, and dispatch them. That's all people think the church is good for. But they have no love to hear this gospel. And I tell you, once you hear this gospel, you don't want to hear anything else. You that have heard this gospel, is that not true? Is there anything else you want to hear? You want to preach on anything else? Listen, if I preached on anything else, this church would throw me out on my ears. And they should. And they should. Because this is what He said, he that heareth my word. And His word is about Christ. Now then, secondly, you must believe it. Not only hear it, those who hear it will believe it. He said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and, this is necessary, believeth on him that sent me. Believe, faith. Those who have heard the voice of the Son of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will believe. These are they that rest their souls on the grace of God who sent Christ to be our high priest. We who have heard the truth trust in Him alone, in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ to be all our salvation, and we have no confidence in the flesh. We who believe, we trust everything to Christ. That's what the message is about, isn't it? Trust in Christ. Shows you who you are, shows you what He's done, and what do we do in response to that? By the grace and power of God, we put all of our soul, all of it. We reserve none of it for ourselves. Religion is, well, Christ will do His part and I'll do my part. No, that's not the word. That's not the message. That's not His word. His word is all or nothing. And you better believe my whole soul is all in on Him. That's what it is to believe on Him. Is this your confession? Is Christ your Lord and Savior? Or are you just paying lip service? Is He all your life or just part of it? Those who hear His voice and believe on the Son of God, we still hear and we still believe on Him. We rest solely on His blood and righteousness. And listen, faith in Christ, this believe, look at that word again. He that believeth, E-T-H, you got the King James Version. That's why I like the King James, because these words are very important. It's a present perfect tense. What that means is that you not only believe now, you will believe the rest of your life. He that does it, if you believe now and don't believe tomorrow, your faith was not of God. True God-given faith is constant and perpetually hearing and believing His Word. He that heareth, E-T-H, constantly heareth. I don't ever stop hearing His Word, do you? Matter of fact, when I stop hearing the preaching of this Word, do I not hear His Word in my heart convict me that I'm not hearing His Word? I believe on Him, and then when my unbelief is so large and so overwhelming, I'm convicted in this. And what does that produce? Faith, even more faith. We long to believe Him more. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let me ask you this. Is it safe to trust Him? Can you trust Him? I'm not saying just with your soul. Can you trust Him with your body? Can you trust Him with your mind? Can you trust Him with your life? Can you trust Him with your family? Can you trust Him with your money? Can you trust Him with your house and your everything? Can you lay all of your trust on Him? Is it safe? Listen, if you don't, it's not safe. Those who trust Him, believe me, it is much safer. It is the safest place to trust Him with everything. And this is what it is to believe in Christ. It's to trust Him with everything, isn't it? Trust Him with everything. And I want you to see what we receive by this. I got three things that we receive, and I'll close with these three things. This is the perfect salvation. The perfect salvation is past, it's a present salvation, and it's a future salvation. Now that's a complete salvation, isn't it? Something that began in eternity, something that is accomplished in time, and continues on for all eternity. That is a complete salvation. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath, past tense, everlasting life. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That's present and future. And the third thing is present is past from death to life. Is right now past from death to life. Let's look at these three things real quickly. First of all, a past hope, a past confidence. He that believeth hath already everlasting life. Believer, let us again see the glory of God's eternal sovereign grace, who by His love hath eternally loved us with an everlasting love and given us eternal life before the world began. And you get this in your mind. You who believe and hear His Word, you have eternal life because God promised it to you. When did God promise? The Scripture says, before the world began, in Titus chapter 1, in verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, listen, promised before the world began. You see, we have eternal life. He hath already eternal life because God promised it. God promised it, but listen, Christ purchased it. You can be sure you have eternal life because Christ purchased that life by giving His life. You remember that the redemption of the ass? It's in the Old Testament. You know, an ass had to be redeemed. Every ass that every donkey came out of the womb had to be redeemed. Or you break its neck. Something had to die in order for that jackass to live. That's a picture of us, isn't it? In order for this jackass to live, Christ had to die. That's just so. This unclean beast, in order for me to live, He had to die. He purchased my eternal life. And then, by the grace and power of the God, in time, He gives me that eternal life. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." So you heard His Word, you believe on Him, you already have eternal life. You don't earn eternal life. It was something promised, it was something purchased, and it's something given to you. It's not something you earn. Secondly, a present hope. A present hope. How do I know I have eternal life? How do I know He purchased it for me? Listen to this. Jesus said, "Those who hear His Word and believe are past, is past." Is now presently passed from death to life. We who have believed have been regenerated. We've been given a new nature created in us by the Holy Spirit. We who walked in our sins and obeyed the lust of our flesh are now passed from death to life. We have been delivered from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is the law of what? It's a law of faith and love, isn't it? You know, I've not been passed to death from life by obedience to the law. Galatians is a whole book written on that. He said, you begin in spirit and finish by the law. No, we don't even begin by the law. We don't finish by the law. We're two different mountains, isn't it? Sinai and Zion are two distinctly separate mountains. So is works and grace. And this law that we live under is not Sinai. It is the law of Zion, the law of faith and love, the law that yields our members as servants of righteousness, the principle of life that sets others above ourselves. That's not natural, is it? That's what God puts in us. When He passes us from death to life, He gives us liberty in Christ, liberty to love Him that we couldn't before, and liberty to believe Him, which we couldn't before. We couldn't hear His Word. We didn't want to hear His Word. But now He has passed from death to life. This is the work of God the Spirit. Don't make light of your faith, believer. It is a gift. It's not something that you can produce. It's something God must give you. And only those who have love for Christ and faith in Christ are passed from death to life. You have spiritual life. And therefore, what does it say? The just shall live by faith. Isn't that what someone living does? He lives by faith. He looks only to Christ. He believes only Christ. He loves only Christ. He serves only Christ. That's someone who's passed from death to life. And thirdly, this is future, shall not come into condemnation. We who hear and believe shall not come into condemnation. There is coming a day of judgment. Our Lord in Matthew chapter 25 sets it up in that analogy. He says He gathers all the people together at that last day, and He divides them, the sheep from the goats. His sheep He places on His right hand, and the goats He places on His left. And He says to those on His right hand, "Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." Now, listen, does that sound like condemnation to you? That's no condemnation, is it? They are coming into an eternal kingdom, passing all the judgment of God. Why? Because Christ had merited all their righteousness and redemption for them. They're under no condemnation because the condemnation of God is already passed on Christ. One thing about God being holy that believers should be thankful for is this. God cannot demand twice payment. If God is just, He cannot demand twice payment. He cannot demand of Christ payment and then demand it of you. That's why He says, "Comfort ye my people. Tell her her warfare is accomplished, for the Lord hath received double for all her sins." Christ's payment was doubly good. Therefore, those who are in Christ, there shall be no condemnation. But I want you to also get this. Really, there is no condemnation now. Paul said it in Romans 8:1. There is therefore what? What's the word? Now. No condemnation. Now read it again. There is therefore now no condemnation. And guess what? 5 minutes from now, there will be no condemnation. And 10 minutes from now, there will be no condemnation. But I feel condemned. Well, that's our conscience, isn't it? Our conscience condemns us. Men condemn us. But God doesn't. Well, that just don't make sense. Human wisdom, it don't. This is heavenly mathematics. This is heavenly mathematics. God will never condemn you of sin because you have no sin to condemn. Shall. This is God speaking in a text. Look at your text. Read it with me. He that heareth my word. You heard His word. You heard of your condition, your ruined nature. Have you heard of Christ and His perfect atonement, His perfect redemption, that He is seated at the right hand, risen from the dead, seated at the right hand of God? Have you believed what you heard? Then this is the word of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Truly, truly, I say unto you, this is true. You heard my word and you believe on Him that sent me. You have everlasting life. You will not come into condemnation. Why? You're passed from death to life. It is my hope and prayer that everyone would hear this word. It is my prayer that everyone would believe this word. Now, I'm going to speak to somebody who can't believe. If you can't believe, then ask Him to give you faith. I read this week. Brother Milton Howard, I think, wrote it down. He said, the only people Christ will accept is not the brokenhearted, but those who have to come to Christ for a broken heart. You have to be so worth nothing that you can't even come with a broken heart. If you're waiting for a moment when you're able to come, you'll never come. You should come pleading for the ability to come. Come pleading for the ability to come. You can't hear His word? pray to hear His word. You can't believe His word, pray to believe His word. And I promise you, He'll give it to you. Find me one person that ever asked that was refused. Find one. You won't. Not in this book. You won't. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, and you shall receive. Is that not easy? Is that not easy to understand? And listen, this is a perfect salvation. It's past, present. You have eternal life. You will not come into condemnation. You pass from death to life. I pray God will bless this to you. I really do.